أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق ونور أرش أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المظلومين. I begin in Allah's name, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us, as we mentioned, all the mercies. And we can never count the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible to count the mercies of Allah, because some of them are zahir and some are batin, some are visible and some are invisible. But nonetheless, we have to recognize the enormous gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in particular the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this blessed month of Ramadan, a month in which He ensures His believers and the human race can basically tie themselves into a pathway in order to receive the guidance and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting obligatory, not only has He made it obligatory, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it not only obligatory, but He has put very strict penalties if we violate it. It's very difficult, as you know, when you break one fast willfully, that the penalty is 60 fasts for each one that you break. Plus you have to feed the poor, and of course, as you know, you have to free a slave if there are slaves out there. It's very difficult. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands how we work, that we will always look for shortcuts in trying to escape this obligation. But in fact, all obligations are a mercy upon us, not upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah gives us something, it is for our own good. إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. When you do good, you do good for yourselves. And indeed, when you do something evil, it doesn't touch Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are all the mercies of Allah, and mercy upon mercy. My God, if I think about it, and we have to, as I mentioned yesterday in my previous lectures, we have to constantly see the world from a positive lens. We have to see opportunities. We have to be proactive. We have to feel enormously chosen. Otherwise, we will cease to function optimally. We will become lazy. We will become lost. We will become negative. In fact, there are some people, when you meet them, their comments are typically negative. They never give you positive comments, even about you. They will not say something good about you. They'll always look for something negative. It's because such an individual is probably seeing life through negative lenses. And they're probably so frustrated with life that everything around them is just a negative reality, which makes them feel like, why do I even exist? We're basically on a pathway of destruction. Whereas that's not the case. The rahmah of Allah is so enormous that we have to acknowledge it daily, every second, every hour. When you see the Quran, inshallah, the last few nights, I'm going to talk about how prophets behaved in the Quran and how the stories of the Quran and how Allah uses key words to ignite this attitude. And inshallah, as you know, tonight some are celebrating the 19th night of Ramadan, the Laylatul Qadr night. Some celebrated yesterday. It doesn't matter. The point is that these are great nights. And inshallah, on my 23rd night of Ramadan, which I think will be on the Friday night and Thursday night, I will talk about the importance of dua. And why is it that when some people pray, Allah doesn't accept their prayers? Although Allah accepts all prayers. What is the philosophy? The Quran actually shows it very clearly. How you should even pray. What should you ask for is all mentioned in the Quran. And those who don't get their prayers answered is because they're asking the wrong thing. And Allah refuses it because it's the wrong thing. For if Allah were to accept it, it would damage us. So I'll talk about that inshallah. These are all blessings and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, the greatest mercy in this month of Ramadan, which is a mercy, which fasting has been enjoined for ourselves as a mercy. Think about it. Look around us today. People are losing their faith. People are becoming decadent. People are becoming vile. People are becoming indecent and immoral. And we know it. Believe me, even those teenagers who are in the entrenched into the pleasures of the world, they know it. That when they become parents and when their child is born, that first child that comes out into the world and they're holding it, they said, my God, I don't want my child to do what I'm doing. Because we realize how bad it can be. But we say, what's the formula to save this baby? What's the formula to save this child? Well, here's the formula, we're living it. It's a social formula. It's a formula of fasting. It's a formula of prayer, 5 daily prayers. Allah says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, wa la dhikrullahi akbar." Prayer keeps you away from wrongdoing and evil. And it is a great act. Wa la dhikrullahi akbar. It's a great remembrance. Why is it great? People think it's just going up and down. No, it prevents us from that immorality. And as I mentioned yesterday, all the mercies of Allah, what is the main direction of all these mercies? It's for us to be moral individuals. The Messenger of Allah has said it in this way. There are two ways he says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ, and another one says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Indeed, I have been sent to perfect your moral traits, to perfect your character, to change your behavior, to make you moral, to make you decent. If there is one thing we look in the world today which is very lacking, it's decency. Decency is becoming a foreign entity in these days. Honestly, as much as we claim to be civilized and as much as we claim to be a decent society, trust me, we are pushing the envelope every hour, every second. Turn on the television and see what's being manufactured as we speak. Okay, so the moral principle, the morality is the entire principle of the Quran. If you look at the entire Quran, all it is aiming towards is morality. People say, isn't the Quran confirming the oneness of God at the end of the day? Isn't Tawheed the most important thing? Yes, but what is the use of Tawheed? God is already unique. There's no need to confirm that. Why do I need to confirm the oneness of God when He's already one? He's already unique. Why do I need to confirm it? Even if someone says there are 1,000 gods, astaghfirullah, it does nothing to Allah. So what's the big deal? The big deal is the minute you go away from the unique one, Ahad, your moral construction will go haywire. You'll become a vile individual. You'll become an immoral individual. Go in Mecca and see, during the time of the pagans, when they were worshipping idols, they used to circumambulate the Kaaba. The thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam started. You know the pagans, what did they do? People think this circumambulation of the Kaaba was instituted by the pagans, and then the Muslims took it and perfected it. Nonsense. Nonsense. It was instituted by Allah. Allah says, "Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakkatan mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin." This house, the Kaaba, is the oldest house on earth. You know that? Empires have come, Romans have come, Egyptians have come, Persians have come. Great empires, all their structures have crumbled. But the Kaaba continues to remain. It's a simple house, a cube. As we say, it is non-biased in its directions. And you find that when Ibrahim alayhi salam rebuilt that house, which Adam alayhi salam was commanded to build, when he rebuilt it with his son Ismail, one of the first things he did was he circumambulated it by the command of Allah. Go around it and bear allegiance that God is the center of your life. Why? Why is a circumambulation so important? Movement around a physical object. So what? It's just a movement. Allah is telling me in practice that your moral construction, your day-to-day activities are going to be derived from Allah. And if Allah does not guide you, who is going to guide you? Allah says, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, we read it, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِي وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He sent messengers from among yourselves to guide you, to teach you, to teach you the law, to purify you, to give you wisdom. And indeed, before this, you were in utter darkness. That's why Adam is the first prophet of God. For no human being can be bereft of a prophet. No human being can be bereft of a guide. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَاد. Allah says, every community has been guided. There is no community on earth that has not been guided by a prophet. So this guidance, you notice, the circumambulation. What did the pagans do? They took it. Why? Because the classic satanic methodology is not to create a new religion. Shaitan never, ever creates a new religion. He takes the existing religion, removes its parts, keeps the shell, and adds his own parts to it. Because if he was to create a new one, no one would accept it. It has to come from a legitimate authority, and then they take it and push it to the sidelines, which then everybody falls. It has to start from God. No religion. Study every religion out there, every great religion, you will notice its origins are true. But what were they circumambulating as? Naked people. They had no clothes. Why? Because Shaitan wants to snub, wants to belittle the religion of Allah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُّهِينٌ. And among mankind are those who create lahwa al-hadith, frivolous talk, methodologies to take people away from the path of Allah. لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without knowledge. And they make a mockery of our religion of God. وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا. They belittle the religion of God. One way of belittling the religion of God is to make people follow a pseudo-religion, and in the garb of the very thing the Prophet did, make them walk without clothes. We know when you go to the Kaaba, it's such a sacred place, you just want to cover yourself. The inner heart of every human being, brothers and sisters, is got haya. Haya is decency. When we have decency, we have a great thing, decency. When our sisters practice decency, they come outside in a decent manner, they dress decently. When men walk on the streets decently, it's a sign of a connection with God. Even if that person may be an unbeliever, that person is connected with God. An individual can come to pray, but if their attitude and their method, if their style of presentation in public is indecent, such an individual has not connected with God. Divine connection is with decency. So notice the rahmah of Allah. What you find is that the very center, the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is being mutilated. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us that His representatives will always maintain stasis such that these evil qualities do not take us over. Hence, I am of this belief, that the morality on earth, even that which is practiced by atheists, was originally established by prophets and imams on this earth, hands down. I say this, in other words, we as a society, we take what is given by our forefathers, and our forefathers must have inherited the positive qualities of prophets. Otherwise, we as a human race, on our own, without guidance, it would be impossible for us to institute the kinds of morals that we have. Though you and I might say, but look, I have a fitra, my heart already shows me what is wrong and right. True, we all have that, I agree. But none of us have the capacity to institute that on a social global level. It's impossible. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I firmly believe that even when an atheist says it's not good to do this and it's not good to do that, it's not good to walk naked out on the street, I say, subhanAllah, your fitra is working, but there is an outside agency, a prophet who must have affected you. You may have rejected him. Even Ibn Abi al-Awja, who was a famous atheist in the time of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You find that even when Imam Ja'far Sadiq used to meet Ibn Abi Awjah, who was a famous atheist, who used to challenge, he used to find every verse in the Quran to find how can he challenge it. He always used to make comments that what a great leader Ja'far Sadiq is. What a great man he is. That even one of his students came and debated Ibn Abi Awjah. And he became a bit annoyed in the debate. He said, your master is better than you. That as much as I have probed him, he has never lost his temper. He has never gone out of whack. He has been very consistent. Our imams were masters of that because they are students of the Holy Prophet. They are reflections of the Holy Prophet. But notice that the effect of a meeting with an atheist by an imam, it is impossible for that atheist not to be affected. Humans affect each other. Whether we accept their pathway or not, we are affected by them. Even when I meet non-believers and I see something that they do is a very good act, I follow that. I said, that's a great act. I like that. That is already in my religion. But they've figured out a methodology on how to do this. Let me institute that too. There's nothing wrong with it because we are affected positively and negatively in how we interact with each other. So imagine, none of us can escape the fact that prophets have affected the human race. None of us. So now the Quran is a book, as you know today, it has caused so much uproar, especially in the world today, some foolish people finally showing their true colors, wanting to burn the Quran. Why would you want to burn the Quran? It's not eating you. It's not hurting you. It doesn't have swords. You know, I was speaking at the university in Oklahoma, and a person asked a question. He says, we see Islam as a terrorist religion. How do you counter that? I said, terrorism by your standards, and I have been taught from childhood that my religion was spread with a sword. And I didn't, in every school I went to, my teachers made sure that I heard that. I said, this selective attack on a great religion called Al-Islam is very unfair in a democratic society. But I feel since it's a democracy, I'm going to stand and scream about it, and I will change the ways of people. And so will you, if you hear the proof. The crowd was predominantly non-Muslim. I said, you say that it is a violent religion. Show me a religion in the world named after peace and submission. Every religion in the world is named after a person or a river. Christianity is named after a person. Judaism is named after a person. Buddhism is named after a person. All religions that are major are named after an object or a person. Only Islam is not named after the Holy Prophet. It's not named after a person. It's called Al-Islam. It's a noun and a verb which describes submission, which is a verb, and peace, which is an adjective and a noun, however you want to call it, in so many directions, salam. No religion in the world has been named that. And I ask myself, if you and I as a human race got together and decided to name a religion that we would have concocted, we would have never come up with this name. It would be impossible. Look at all religions. They evolved by human interventions. Look, they couldn't have that wisdom to put something that would be very catchy. Look at the irony today in Islam. We're being attacked as a terrorist religion. We're being attacked. Where its very name means peace. We need to examine this. So I asked them, I said, since my religion was supposedly spread with the sword, then my God should have shown me what kind of sword I should be using when I go and spread it, don't you think? Mm-hmm. And how long the sword should be, what kind of metal should be halal and what kind of metal should be haram. Mm-hmm. And how many points should it have and how many should I have around my waist? So everybody's listening to me in the crowd. I said, for your information, the miracle, the Quran which I prescribe to, the word safe is not mentioned in the entire Quran. There is no such word as sword in the entire Quran. You know that? The entire Quran has no word called sword. That's incredible. The wisdom, the hikmah of this Quran, this guidance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already aware of all these attacks that will come in the future. You and I need to rise to the occasion and say, let's use rationality and logic here. That why are we being attacked when my very scripture does not even have the word sword in it? So how do I know how to use it? Sure, there are people out there who've used the names of religion with the sword to expand in the name of God. But show me a religion, including Buddhism, that has not spread with the sword. Every major religion has had its share of the use of the sword. Some of them, in fact, vicious in Europe, if you examine, even in Spain, when Queen Isabella took over Spain, you should have seen how many people were butchered. Right? When the Muslims were defeated in Spain. Do we say that Christianity was spread with the sword? Of course not. When we read the scriptures in the Bibles, the mention of the word sword is more than 300 times. But I would never say Christianity was spread with the sword. It's unfair. Christianity, in principle, its base principle is the deen of Allah. It was al-Islam. And it has its roots, and the Quran was sent to confirm it. It did not come to abrogate it. It came to confirm it. It came to purify it. And it came to tell us that what you read in the Bible, we will show you what is right in it, and we will show you what is wrong in it. Because the Quran is known as Al-Furqan, meaning it is the book which deciphers. It splits gray into black and white. Salawat Allah Muhammad wa Muhammad. This is the Quran, brothers and sisters. A miracle that 14 centuries later, I have been authorized as a Muslim to stand in a university, in academia, to protect it and to represent it rationally, that people's jaws dropped. And the head of the department came and said to me, he says, if there's one thing people are going to walk out of this room today, they will say Islam is a good religion. I said, mission accomplished, for it is a good religion. Our religion is not named after a prophet. It's not named after any person. Even those Orientalist scholars who have studied the Quran, they say the most fascinating thing about the Quran, which is the only revealed scripture in the world where God is the exclusive author cover to cover. Do you know? The messenger of Allah was inspired. Allah said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The messenger does not speak of himself, but that which was revealed to him. Means every word the messenger spoke in the Quran came from his tongue, but it was an inspiration. But we say, yeah, but the Bible was inspired too. Paul was inspired. That Roman Jew who used to kill Christians, who finally became inspired by God, and he now became the author of many books in the New Testament. He was also inspired. What's the difference? Notice the difference. Our Holy Prophet was also inspired, but nowhere in the Quran does the messenger say, excuse me, by the way, that's my opinion. He doesn't say that. The messenger doesn't say, I think as a prophet, it should be the, no. There is no ayah in the Quran where the messenger speaks on his own. Qul, qala, qalu, they say, he said, say, don't say, you say. Who's saying? Subhanallah. It's Allah talking. No book in the world. Can you imagine this? I mean, just as a rational thinker, you say, if I'm out there searching for a religion, I want to follow God. And I don't want any human being giving me his 2 cents worth of comments. I want to hear God talking. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, let's concoct one. Allah says, look, examine all the books out there. They don't have the wisdom even to concoct it properly. Even the nomenclature is wrong. Even the concoctions are fabricated. Now read the Quran. This Quran. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ رَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. What we have revealed in this Quran is an intercessor. It is your shifa'ah. It is an elixir that's going to calm you down, and it's going to represent you against enemies, and it's going to represent you on the day of judgment. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What is in it is shifa'ah and a mercy for the believers. The Quran continues. It says, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And it increases nothing for the wrongdoers except destruction. Hence, when the Quran speaks with wisdom and eloquence, and when it deciphers and shows where the truth lies, the liars and the confused ones become angry, which leads them to something which is drastic, that they have to now call the world to say, we're going to burn it. The very person who's going to burn it, by the way, I understand, was recently arrested for having pornographic material in his possessions. The worst kind of pornographic material, astaghfirullah. Notice, pornographic material, what is that? That's the core of indecency. You want to go further than that filth? It's when you deal with children. This man possesses that. He's known to have that. Can we choose our leaders from this kind of people? Subhanallah. With due respect to all religions, and I respect all religions, I feel every religion, every person who follows that religion has a sincere objective to reach God, and I respect that. But this is an academic discussion. Can we have leaders as such who are going to burn to represent, but they're born again? Born again from what? Oh, from incredible, you know, child molestations and all kinds of nasty behaviors. And now they've been born again, so they're going to teach us? You're going to teach me? This is why we say in our school, especially in the Islamic school, in the world of Islam, and particularly in certain schools, more emphasis is placed that the infallibility of prophets and imams is fundamental to the delivery of the perfect message of God. And those who represent it must continuously be perfect and pure. You want to see the perfection factor? Iblis, who has now just fallen from his high status. And God says, get out. He says, give me a chance to take this being, this Bani Adam, who has taken my status away. Let me take this being with me into hell. Look at what Iblis says in the Quran. It's masterful. Allah is describing it. He's talking to Allah. He says, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ Look at what Shaitan is saying. He says, by your authority, God. Look how Shaitan is talking. He's accepting God's authority. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ By your authority, I will take all of them with me. Except your purified ones. إِلَّا عِبَادُكَ Your servants who are purified. إِلَّا عِبَادُكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ مُخْلَص is different from مُخْلِص. مُخْلَصِين meaning purified, not sincere. Above sincere, purified. Shaitan cannot touch them. وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٍ Fire cannot touch them. They are purified prophets. Why is it essential? Because if they make a single mistake, the entire moral principles are upside down. They're flipped. So we take sometimes this notion that we are born again and we're very forgiving. Yes, no religion is more forgiving than Al-Islam. We're not born with sin. We're not damned to hell at birth. We don't live in sin. We don't have physical sin, as we spoke. Evil is a reaction to an action based on a willful choice to reject the good. That's the mercy of God. Different, isn't it? Forgiving. But leadership, my God, leadership is so important. For I derive my moral concepts, my construct, through examples. Children, I'll give you a simple example. Imagine children in our communities. If all of us as adults were indecent and reckless and drunkards, God forbid, and we do all kinds of haram things, what do you think our children will be doing tomorrow? Guaranteed 95, 99% will be doing the same thing. We follow the religion of our forefathers. This is where our loyalty stands. So we as a human race affect our next generation. Imagine how prophets should affect us. They're affecting all generations. You think they can afford to make a single mistake? Impossible. I say all the verses in the Quran where you see that maybe a prophet made a mistake here, watch out. It's a trial. It's mutashabiha ayah. It's an allegorical ayah testing you. Is it possible? But God, you're saying it. Allah says, look carefully. I am doing this purposely to test you. If your iman, that template that you hold in your heart, if it is truly tested, it will understand this and you will not accept it. You will look for answers in the Quran as to what the Prophet really is. But I am saying it this way purposely because I am testing you. You know, in one of my debates I had with evangelical Christians, I asked them this question. I said, we say when a person is born again, that they can lead us because God is so forgiving. I said, I agree that when someone is on one side of the pendulum, they're very bad and wicked, and then they turn and they become very good, that's wonderful. Is the system of God accepting such a person? Absolutely. In fact, to such a degree that if such a person, even half an hour before their death, turn to Allah, Allah will forgive all their past potentially. Imagine. And God is just. On the flip side, an individual can be all good, and half an hour before his death, he turns away from Allah. God forbid. That's what happened to Shaitan. That's what happened to Iblis. If you examine what happened to Shaitan, he was good for thousands of years. He fell in the end. We might think, as long as I'm good, I'm guaranteed. No, I'll show you proof in the Quran, even in Surah Yusuf. You will, inshallah, when I get the chance to recite in the next few nights, you'll see how Yusuf alayhi salam, having reached high state, a very high state of leadership, ownership, wealth, power, incredible power, and yet his dua is what tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin. Let me die a Muslim, meaning a subservient one. You are a prophet. A whole chapter in the Quran is given to you. You're such a great man. Even your father, your mother, your brothers are bowing. You've been elevated to this throne. He says, "Wa tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin." And my Lord, let me die a Muslim and let me be put among those pure ones. Look, a prophet is praying in the end. That means that the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says an individual can switch the other way. That's why prophets all the time prayed. And on the flip side, you find an evildoer can turn towards Allah in the last moments of his life. And if Allah accepts it, he can erase everything. That's why Allah says, "Wallahu yuhibbu at-tawwabin." Allah loves those who turn to him. Turn, constantly turn. Every time you go away, keep turning. Don't lose hope. It's a religion of hope. Islam is a religion of hope. So I asked this question to my evangelical friends in the debate. And I said that Paul was a born-again Christian. He was born again. He's the leader of Christians. Look at the mentality, the basic rationale. Put your money where your mouth is. With due respect, and I'm not passing a judgment on him, what is going to happen to him on Judgment Day? Only Allah is Malik Yawmiddin. It's none of my business. But at the end of the day, we are choosing leadership. So let's talk for a second in notice. Simple. I said, imagine in my community, there's a child molester. And now he realizes he's wrong. This guy wants to burn the Bible in Florida. That's his past. So now you have a child molester. I'm in this great religion where forgiveness is just the way to go. We forgive everybody. We love everybody. I said, okay, that's beautiful. We should love people. Humans are deserving of love. The religion of God is filled with love, and it should be expressed with love. Not a problem. Now this person just became a very pious man. And now he's become a leader in your community. Oh, forget the leadership. Imagine he's in your community, very nice man, very religious, born again. And you have nice children, and you need to go on vacation, and you need somebody to take care of them. Will you give your children to him? I pose that question in the debate. And I tell you, you have to be out of your mind to give your children to him. So, but he's born again. Yeah, between him and God. Not my children, please. I said, you wouldn't give your children to him. God will give the whole religion to such people? Who are we fooling? Prophets are representatives of God that are beautiful creations sent with guidance. And tonight, the 19th night of Ramadan, this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of all these mercies, just a simple example of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran down on this night. And I'll talk about the Quran, how it was revealed. Inna anzalnahu Quran. This Quran, which has been revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed it on the night of Qadr. This Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr. The whole Quran was revealed on the night of Qadr, meaning the Quran has many dimensions. There's a spiritual dimension which was revealed. And then there is the physical dimension, which was written in books, and it was revealed holistically, and it was also revealed in parts to the people. I'll speak about it in the next few nights. Tonight, being the night of Qadr, it's such a momentous night that there is a great personality that we all know, none other than Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Who was struck tonight, struck by an enemy. And I want to describe the essence of the philosophy behind this great personality. Laylatul Qadr. What is this night? Allah says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf al-shahr. This one night is better than 1,000 months. That's 30,000 nights. Why is Allah saying that? Because historically, there is some hadith to show this, but that's not the main reason. Hadith show various parts. Why does Allah say Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr? Why is the night of Qadr better than 1,000? Why does Allah just use the word 1,000? Some say that if you look, the Umayyad Empire ruled for 1,000 months. The Umayyad Empire ruled for roughly 1,000 months, 89 years plus. And the Messenger of Allah was aware of that, and he was showing that this one Quran being revealed nullifies all these empires coming in the way. This is one example. Another say that 1,000 months is actually an expression of so much that it's just an expression, like sab'a samawat could be more than seven. It's just an expression. It's like a metaphorical expression. They're like tons, they're hundreds of it. You know, that's like that. It's an expression. Whether it's one or the other, the Quran does make a very clear point that it is a very important night. Why? He says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ. What will make you understand? Whenever the Quran asks us a question followed by an answer, the Quran is saying, pay attention to this night. It's extremely important. And we have a great personality, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Tonight I touch briefly on his life, and inshallah tomorrow and the after the night of his Shahada, which is the 21st of Ramadan, we will pay tribute to him. To me, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is such a great personality. Let us explain what the Quran says. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 55, Allah says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Beautiful verse. Only Allah, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is your wali. Wali here means authority, your commander, mawla, one who you must follow unequivocally. Wali. And his messenger, innama wali. Here, wali, by the way, is singular, not awliya, wali. That means the essence of authority is the same that comes from God to his prophet, which continues to the successor. And successorship is essential because it is the guidance and the protection of the messenger of God and his message. Otherwise, notice, if reflectors don't come, protectors don't come, then humans will intervene to take it away. They will take the satanic principles of keep the shell, infuse our own ideas into it. The imams came to protect that, to prevent such intrusions. That's why imams are so important. And by the way, imams from the Ja'fari school of thought, please understand very clearly, imams do not have the power to bring new legislation. They do not bring new laws. They are not authorized to bring risala. They do not get revelations to people to deliver new messages and laws. They don't. Imams have communication with their Lord, but their duty is to protect totally the intactness of the messenger's message complete, period. That's why the messenger says, Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate. What does the gate do? The gate protects the city. And it becomes a means of entrance into the city. This personality is very important. And Allah says, Innama waliyukum Allah, your master, your wali. That's why wilaya to me is the more appropriate name more than imama. We say we are followers of imams and we are imamis. Imam in the Quran has two sides. There is imam among the shayateen. The Quran says Fir'aun is the imam of the disbelievers. Shaitan is the imam of the disbelievers. The word imam is used. The Quran is ambivalent on both sides with the use of the word imam. But wali is unique. It's got that unique position where it's authoritative. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The messenger, the prophet, has greater right. أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ مَهَاتُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the messenger has greater right on the believers than the believers have upon themselves. Here the same word is used. أَوْلَى. Allah says, who are your authority? God. the messenger and the one who gives charity in the state of Ruku. There was no other person in history when this verse was revealed, and all Mufassireen agree categorically that it was none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam who gave charity in the state of Ruku. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And the importance of our Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is as such. It's a gift, a mercy. Some of us say, okay, I am a follower of Ja'fari, I'm a Shia, I'm a follower of Ahlul Bayt. And then we got the Sunnis, and then we got those schools. It's such a, you know, we're so divided. I think this division has come because of our own foolishness, not because of Allah's religion, no. It's come from both sides. Honestly, I must say this fairly and squarely, that the deen of Allah is one and universal. It's in the Quran clear. Brothers and sisters, if we focus on the Quran and look at the angle and the spirit of the Quran is not schismatic. It doesn't divide us. It divides on principle lines, but it's very inclusive. Inclusive in what way? It even takes the enemy and gives him an opportunity to come in. It's not exclusive. It's not a box. If you look at our societies today, we're all living in boxes. We are so entrenched in our little boxes that you dare get out of your box. You are a threat to our system. We are a box mentality societies. Nationally, racially, regionally, ideologically, religiously, we are box mentality peoples. And the way we get out of the box is read the Quran. The Quran gives you a bird's eye view and says, look at all the boxes, now understand the good ones from the bad ones and merge them together and bring the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. Very important. So our obligation is not to divide among ourselves and to find all kinds of reasons to fight with the other side. It's us versus them mentality. Even when I have this discussion with Christians, for example, and atheists, one thing I don't like to do is debate. I dislike debating. I only do it when I find somebody throwing venom out there, extreme amounts of hatred, then you need to come and sort of neutralize them through a debate. Otherwise, debating is not something I like. It's very contentious. It creates walls. It's better to have a dialogue. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Called أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, come, let's have a dialogue. Allah doesn't say, let's have a contention, let's have a war, let's fight. No. تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we should worship none other than one God. That's a discussion. And I respect your position if you don't agree with me, but let's have a discussion. Imam Ali alayhi salam is a miracle. He is a deciding point, no question about it. He is a Furqan. Even in the Battle of Siffin, and I'll describe it briefly before his death, you find in the Battle of Siffin, which was the deciding battle that set the standards of Islam until today, the echoes of Siffin continue to vibrate and reverberate until today. Siffin. But the quality of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he became a Khalifa, you notice he immediately became a Furqan. He exposed people. That's the nature of prophets and imams. They don't, when I say expose, in what way? Because of their sheer truthfulness, their sheer quality of light, their enlightenment, in a dark world, they show you the intrinsic characteristics of reality, which exposes certain people who were hiding in their garb, thinking that they're okay working within the system of God, when in fact they're poisonous. That's why the Imam had to do so many battles. He had to go and fight to bring people in the pathway of truth. Not because he wanted to fight. All those battles that he fought, Imam hated them. In fact, even in Basra, when Aisha was fighting him, Aisha's army was showering arrows, showering. He said, don't attack. The soldiers came complaining, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we're being killed. These arrows are devastating us. Imam says, don't move yet. Wait, give them a chance. Maybe they will change their mind. For I don't like to fight our unbelievers. وَإِن تَعِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. When two groups of Muslims fight, make peace between them. But if one persists and insists, then fight them and bring them back to the path of God. And when they do come back to the path of God, don't taunt them. Don't hold them under your authority that says, you are the one. Don't make them feel bad. Bring them into your circle. They are our brothers. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. The believers are brothers. Believers are brethren, meaning men and women. We are brethren. Make peace between each other. This is the sign of mercy. Look at this verse. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. This is in Surah Hujurat, 49th chapter. The believers are brothers. Make peace between them. فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Be God conscious. Be aware. Be aware of the intrinsic details of how life works. Don't be foolish. Don't make foolish statements. Don't be emotional. Don't jump to conclusions. This is what wattaqullah means. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that more mercy comes to you. God has reserved enormous mercy for us. More. What we've got now is nothing compared to what awaits us in relative scales. The mercy of Allah is huge, but what awaits us is even more. Why do we shortchange ourselves? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Here you find Imam Ali alayhi salam, people say he's the deciding factor, but look at the miracle of God. One thing that I learned as a Muslim, I said, oh Allah, you've shown us the true religion. We are a minority. How do we go out there and reach out to the majority? How? The first rule of thumb says, find common ground. If you're ever going to talk to your enemy or a stranger, you have to find common grounds. If you don't have common grounds, your communication is never going to happen. Impossible. Look socially, even when you're in a train or someplace and you have somebody who's sitting next to you, unless there's something that you both share, either a sport or a team or a belief or a garb or something you possess, maybe a phone, and both of you have the same phone, somebody says, hey, by the way, how do I use this phone? Okay, you just found a common ground. You say, common ground brings you together. Then you notice you become friends. Then you bond yourself on common grounds. This is how bonding takes place. You find every human being binds themselves on common grounds. You know what's fascinating? Even twins, identical twins, genetically identical twins, don't agree on everything. They're identical, born from the same mother. But what holds them together? Common grounds, blood. Imagine the human being, you and I, we're all Bani Adam. We're all made from one. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. You have all been created from one soul, one being. Common ground, we're humans. Look how merciful Allah is. This problem on this earth where we are so divided, where we're killing each other regionally, race-wise, religiously, you notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is against this. Allah does not teach us to go and segregate and separate and kill people. And it doesn't happen. Our Messenger of Allah lived in Mecca among the worst of the polytheists. Even then he didn't do that. They called him Anta Sadiqul Amin when he stood on the mountain and he said, who am I? He says, Anta Sadiqul Amin, you are truthful, trustworthy. Who's speaking? The likes of the Abu Lahabs, the likes of the polytheists. Look at the Prophet, how kind he was. He's a prophet already. He's 40 years old. He has lived with these people. These are polytheists who've been walking without clothes possibly around the Kaaba. He says, who am I? He says, Anta Sadiqul Amin. You are Sadiqul Amin. This is how we should be living. So what Allah has blessed us with is common grounds. So my humanity, Allah says, go out and talk humanity to the people. And if you can't do that, or when you do that, and you get closer to me, how do you get closer to me? Allah says, I am so merciful that I have now put together great personalities to link you. So if I go to a Jew, and I'm speaking to a Jew, he says, Moses, you like Moses? So, we love Moses. So do I. My book is filled with his stories. He's a great man. God speaks most about him in the Quran. He's the most, one of the most mentioned figures in the Quran. Wow, really? Moses? Common ground. Go to the Christian. Say, Jesus, Isa, you revere him, don't you? That's my prophet. How great he was. He spoke in the cradle. Look at the miracle he did. My God, how great a person he is. how chosen this man is. And everything you say when you say that he was a truthful man, I confer with you. I agree with you. Isn't that beautiful? SubhanAllah. Look how merciful God is. You take the majority of the world's population, we already got it. Even if we go to Buddhists and study the principles of Buddha, you'll find it's all within the prescriptions of Islam. You just have to find it and say, wow, there it is. I respect Buddha. What Buddha said here, I agree. Common grounds. A Buddhist will love you when you say that. And if you adjust a little bit, say, well, this particular issue I may not agree, but no problem. It's your right to reject. Difference of opinion is the spice to life. Whoever said there has to be one monolithic society? If Allah wanted a monolithic, one-minded society, He would have created it. Yet even a child born of its own mother and flesh, the child rejects its own mother. How is that possible? Allah says, I have made diversity as a means of reaching me. That a difference of opinion is precisely where it should stand. And the question is not whether you can separate from such a being. The question in your trial on this earth is whether you can find common grounds and come to me together. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah together and don't find distinguishing points of separation. Separation in Islam is only when a person is an evildoer. When a person is committing murder, an indecent person, drinking, fornicating, molesting. Yes, we say, I separate from you. That's why the word la'an, by the way. Some people say, why do we say la'an? La'an Allahu ummatan. Allahumma la'an, or you know, we say, you know, la'anatullahi ala al-qawmi al-zalimeen. What is la'an here? I'm not damning a person. I can't damn. What am I going to damn? If I can damn a person, then I should be the master of the day of judgment. We're not damning anyone. What we're saying to God in la'an is, God, I separate from this person. That when you do pass judgment on judgment, don't keep me with him. As Allah says, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On that day, every man will be raised with his imam. In her imam. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. In Surah Isra, Allah says, on that day, everyone will be raised with their imam. I said, oh Allah, don't raise me with this imam. I don't belong in this group. I belong in somewhere else. This is what we mean by la'an. But Allah has given us linking points. Come to Islam. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the linking point. The miracle of Muslims is that we believe in Allah and His Messenger. It's a miracle. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. The believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then they don't doubt. ثم لم يرتابوا. So the Messenger and Allah are the linking points of the Muslims. We all agree. He is the uniting point. But that's not where our difference starts within the Muslim ummahs. Our difference is with regards to Imam Ali. But look how Allah, in His infinite mercy and miracles, He has placed him on both sides. SubhanAllah. You go to our brothers of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say he's Rashidun. In fact, the scholars in that school say, you do not address Ali ibn Abi Talib as radiyallahu an. You say, karramallahu wajh. May God elevate his face, for he never bowed to idols. The first believer in the male, among the men, among the male, was Ali ibn Abi Talib, the brother of the Prophet. The one who the Prophet took as his brother in Mecca, the one who the Prophet took as his brother in Medina. This brother used to walk with the Prophet as a young boy. And when the Meccans used to hide the little children with little pebbles and rocks, and when they would throw their rocks at the messenger because he was claiming to have one God and he was against their idols, they used to pelt him with rocks. Imam Ali alayhi salam, as a young child, used to protect him and go after these kids. He used to chase them. Imam says, as a child, the messenger used to take me up to the mountains and he taught me the art of defense. He taught me all that I know. My whole religion, everything I know was taught to me by my Prophet. Look how Allah inspires the messenger, then the messenger gives it to the imams. Why? Because the imams are there simply to protect the messenger. They are not above the Holy Prophet. They don't bring new laws. They simply reflect. That's why I love Imam Ali alayhi salam so much. Never for a second did this man blink away from the Messenger of Allah. My love and your love is for the Messenger of Allah. But can't we just enormously fall in love, we have to, with those who take us to the Prophet, with those who never disobeyed the Prophet, with those who on every battlefield, even when the Prophet was hit with the stone, with the rock on his tooth in the Battle of Uhud, you find Imam Ali alayhi salam takes his sword. While he has his sword, he takes the scabbard and he breaks it. He said, this sword will not go back in there until I protect the Messenger of Allah. Famous hadith, we say, Jibreel says, لا فتح إلا علي ولا سيف إلا ذوالفقار. True or not, it's clear that he was the forerunner, protector of the Messenger. The Messenger migrates from Mecca to Medina. It was a big event. But brothers and sisters, let's not forget who was sleeping in his bed. Who was in his bed? Who was the one that the Prophet said, God has commanded me to leave Mecca. The enemies have surrounded the house. He says, oh my brother, I need somebody to occupy this bed so that I have enough time to escape from these enemies. And they awaited with their daggers. And Imam prayed 2 rak'ah salah. He prayed 2 rak'ah salah. When asked, he says, God gave me the opportunity to die in his cause. You know what Allah says in the Quran to the Jews? This is the principle in the Quran. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. You claim to be chosen people of God. إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. You claim to be chosen people of God. Allah says, then respond. فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then have this desire to come back to me if you are truthful. Allahu Akbar. فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Imam Ali alayhi salam is a young man, young, full of ambition, full of life. He says, gladly he goes into the bed and he covers himself. The daggers are there. Anytime it will puncture his body, he doesn't care. Allah even revealed verses in the Quran among men who are ready to sacrifice their life for the pleasure of Allah. There's a hadith that says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angel, Jibreel. He says, Jibreel, choose your brother. He says, Mikael. He says, which one of you is ready to sacrifice his life for his brother? Each one says, no, my life is too precious. Allah says, go on earth and see a brother giving his life for his brother for my love. Go see it. This is leadership. This is the epitome of morality. When I study the characters of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, when I study the characters of prophets in the Quran, it just ignites this moral construct in my body every single day. That while the world is saying be indecent, the world is saying lie, the world is saying cheat, the world is saying take shortcuts, my imam is saying, look at me, my right was taken. But look how patient I was. How many an enemy came after me. How close I was to the Prophet. How beloved was I to the Prophet. And how many enemies did I have? They say that when Imam Ali alayhi salam was buried, no one knew where he was buried. Because he had so many enemies. Imagine this. You are talking about the brother of the Prophet. You're talking about a man who was on the forerunner, the forefront from childhood protecting the Prophet. He's the one who the Prophet kissed and carried and held his hand and says, Man kuntum mawla fahada aliyun mawla. Who is this man such that when he dies, he can't even expose his grave? Imam says, be patient. Allah rewards the good doers. That you may not see where my grave is, but who cares? I am with Allah. My love is for Allah. And I will sacrifice قُلِنَا صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I give everything. They say Imam Ali alayhi salam comes from a battle once and he was crying. And the Messenger of Allah says, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali. He used to call him Ali. And Amir, he used to call him many names. He says, oh Ali, why are you crying? We won the battle. Imam says, they all got shahada. I didn't get my shahada. When am I going to get my shahada? My God, how many of us can wake up every morning and look in the mirror and say, what is the day when God is going to take me in his pathway as a shaheed? You think it's a joke? It's not a joke, brothers. When you hear Yahya ibn Zakariya, a young, handsome boy, his father is being told, your son will be a great person, but he will be sacrificed. And that he was beheaded by a Roman king. What father can touch the neck of its child knowing that it's going to be severed? Here's a man who is waiting when this will happen. The Prophet says, oh Ali, the day you reach that sacrifice, he put his hand on his head, he says, this will drench this. He held his beard. He says, this will drench this. So Imam used to hold every day. He says, when are you going to be colored? When are you going to be colored? فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Have this desire to come to me. Imam Ali alayhi salam suffered tremendously. For what? To bring haq for you and me. To bring religion to you and me. He established a military. He established a government in his authority. He established guidance. He established protection. He established the Quran as a distribution, a book of distributions. He established so much. Its benefits are in our hands today that gives us the authority today to represent ourselves as Muslims today. You find that Imam alayhi salam, while he's fighting all the enemy forces of the Bani Umayyah, especially Muawiyah entrenched himself in the authority in the wrong place. His father Abu Sufyan used to say, this religion I will destroy it from outside or from inside. They say when Abu Sufyan was old and blind, he went to Uhud and he kicked the grave of Hamza. He said, that religion your fathers fought with me in Badr is in my hands today. It is in my hands and I manipulate it. It's true. Muawiyah entrenched himself. That Imam goes to Raqqa, which is where the Battle of Siffin takes place, and says to Muawiyah, step down. You are not my governor. You are a liar. You are a cheat. You are a crook. Imam says, step down. Muawiyah says, no. And he challenges Imam. And here's a moral story, brothers and sisters. How did the Khawarij come into existence? The Khawarij were people who broke away from Imam Ali's army. How did the Khawarij come into existence? You and I must pay attention to this, and then I'm going to conclude. The Khawarij came into existence by the machinations of wicked people like Muawiyah. Today, in the world we live in today, we have many Khawarij. And we have many Muawiyah machineries. They are working as we speak. To divide us, as we speak, they are working within our communities. Even one issue like citation of the moon, even one issue about following a marja, even which marja is right and wrong, we are fighting and ready to divide. Machinations of Muawiyah is in full force. This happened in Siffin. Imam Ali alayhi salam is fighting in Siffin. The army is fighting. Muawiyah sends agents, pays them money. Come on, break away. Who are these people? Al-Ash'ari and so on. Who are these people? These were ignorant people. Jahil. Ignorant. Their understanding of religion was so shallow. They were such shallow people. Yet when you saw them, you were impressed by their religiosity. They were full of markings on their faces and their knees were buckling. Imam says, don't. But we humans are responsible for the effects of what's happening in the world today. Imam is a leader. My free will is in full motion. Allah says, I have sent you a guide. If you don't hold on to him, and if you don't follow him, pay the price. Even Musa alayhi salam, after splitting the sea and taking these people across the sea and destroying Pharaoh in front of their eyes, when these people disobeyed Musa alayhi salam, he had to suffer with them for 40 years. We are suffering at the same level. That our imams had to suffer upon suffering because the people were not following. Why? Because people were not spending time to get close to Allah. They are so shallow, so material, that anything that glitters, everybody runs. And the imams are standing there, says, what about us? Are you not supposed to follow us? Are we not the ones who are going to take you to paradise? Are we not the ones who are going to guide you to the Prophet? People always give the short end of the stick to the imams. This is what happened. So Abdurrahman ibn Muljim was living in Egypt, was hired by Muawiyah. Muawiyah wanted Imam Ali alayhi salam to be removed. He knew as long as Imam Ali alayhi salam was alive, his dream of running the empire was not possible. So he brings Ibn Muljim from Egypt, gives him top money, and makes him enter Kufa. And Imam looks at his roster. Because when they enter the gate of Kufa, Imam used to keep a roster. Whoever enters has to give their name. Imam sees the name, Ibn Muljim. He says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My assassin has entered the city. My assassin has entered the city. I think often, could I bear to read that roster? I don't think so. I don't think I could. And that's the connection with God. That when we love Allah, we become so strong, we don't have a problem with that. Final point. When you work the way of Allah, there is a rule, there's a principle. When you and I want to work the way of Allah,
we will become tired. That's the rule. We will become drained. Imam says, people followed him, says, I'm your Shia. Imam says, you're not my Shia. He says, why? He says, my Shia is drained, is tired. In worship, in struggling against the evil forces. Who are you? Tired. Why? Why tired? Because when you get tired in doing Allah's work and the enemies keep attacking you, you just can't wait to go. That's why Imam says, death to me is like that milk for a baby from its mother. I can't wait for it. I'm tired. But as long as God gives me life, I will continue to serve Him. He says, my dream on this earth is to be in armor while I'm fasting, upholding the religion of God. You and I are its followers. We're finding every excuse to run away from the religion of God because of a little difficulty. Yet my leader, which we're all so proud to hold as a leader, as the one who represents us as an imam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's your wali, how come we don't follow that? Huh? How come we don't follow? He says, this is my desire. You find Abdurrahman ibn Muljim is brought to Egypt, from Egypt to Kufa, and you find that he manages to buy a very expensive poison, and he poisons his sword. And of course, historians said there was a woman, her name was Qattam. She actually induced him, all part of this plan that Muawiyah had constructed. And they knew that the only time to strike Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam is when he's in Salah. For he's a man who killed giants, Amr bin Abdud and Marhab. You can't face him. He will defend. He's too swift that any strike of a sword, he will move away because he's too aware. But my God, when he's in prayer, that's a message for you and me, brothers. How often do we pray with that kind of khushu? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Khushu. Do we pray with khushu? Imam Ali is entering this masjid. While he's walking from home, his family is bidding him goodbye. They say, what is going on? He says, my death awaits me. Can you imagine entering a place of worship where you know that something is going to happen to you today? Imam says, welcome it. فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ That he enters in the Fajr time. Fajr Salah, he enters into the masjid and Ibn Muljim is waiting for him with this poison sword, waiting to kill him among the Khawarij, an ignorant man because he was passionate with the world. And this is a leader who he needed to eliminate. And you find that he was in the fifth, sixth line of the Jama'ah. As Imam alayhi wasalam is leading prayers, they say there was a series of them who had come to make sure that they could get entrance right into the front part of where Imam was leading prayers. And while the Imam was in sujood, he says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. And a strike. That Ibn Muljim takes his sword and strikes him on the head. Now you might think that when you and I get hit, he said, oh my God, what's happening? You know, oh my God, I'm finished. Please, God, help me. No, 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 no. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? No. Fuztu wa rabbil Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. I have succeeded by the Lord of the Kaaba. I have succeeded. Fuztu wa rabbil Kaaba. Wow, this is an echo. This sentence echoes in my heart every single hour, every single day. He says, if you are ever going to do Allah's work, keep this in your heart. Fuztu wa rabbil Kaaba. Imam was so happy because he says, my test is over. I am going to die a believer. He's an imam. Yusuf alayhi salam says, وَتَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ Sulaiman says the same thing. Every prophet said the same thing. Why should not the imam say the same thing? That, oh Allah, let me die a believer. That when you are struck with the enemy of God, what are you then? You are a shaheed. Allah said, لا تقولوا لمن يقتلوا في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء. Don't say that those who have been killed in the way of God, they're dead. No, no, they're alive. ألا لعنة الله إلى القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أَيَّمُونَ قَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ Oh Allah, there is much injustice in this world. Much. Especially among your leaders. But God, you have chosen them to guide you and me, us, to guide us. to guide us, that we should get a lesson from this, that our spirits should be strong. Brothers and sisters, please, if we don't pray, start praying, please. If we don't fast, please don't find excuses. These are all gifts of God. If you ever want to reach the high levels of existence, we've got to pay a price. We've got to struggle. And let's not get fooled by the shortcut glitter of the world. It doesn't work. See the rich people who are living in a decadent lifestyle. See Hollywood, how much drug abuse takes place. See how much indecency takes place. See how many illegitimate children are being born as we speak. It's astronomical. There is no light at the end of this tunnel, except in Deenillah, except in this religion. Our remembrance of such people is what takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. My brothers and sisters, tonight is the night of Qadr. I'll talk about it tomorrow and the after. It's extremely important that we spend the night reflecting. Sit together with a group of brothers. Allah says, when you get together, talk about me. When you get together, don't talk about anything else. Talk about me. Talk about prophets. Talk about the Quran. Talk about how can I become a better person. There's rahmah in it. And then when you and I sincerely put our hands up, it says, oh Allah, for tonight's sake, this tonight may be the night of Qadr. For tonight's sake, Allah, give me the following things. Those things, I'll talk about them in my next lectures. What are those things we should be asking for? It's in the Quran. And you will see if you ask for them, 100% Allah will not say no. 100%. The problem is we don't ask for it often. We don't live it, and therefore we don't get it. Let's tonight change that and sincerely say, Allah, I'm not very close to you. I have bad habits. We all do. Oh Allah, help me. Get rid of some of these bad habits, if not all of them, so that I come closer to you. Why? Because there is no other reason to exist in this world unless I come to you for my moral construction gets perfect, reaches towards perfection. My humility becomes total. My tranquility becomes total. Ala bidhikrillah tatma'innal qulub. If we have that, I tell you, if the world threw diamonds at us, and they threw palaces at us, we will reject it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.